there are spiritual forces that resist the spreading of the gospel. It's not a one-way enterprise where we're just going in and we're having the gospel. There's some pushback. There's an enemy that's been dug in for generations and all in the lives of people. And they got strongholds and demonic forces, and they are resisting the gospel. So Paul says, pray that there's a door open for the message.
This is Jerry G. Martin, and welcome to The Light of the World. Jesus talked about prayer and said, when you get into your secret place, your closet, and call on the Lord, you can really change some things in your life. Do you have an unsaved loved one that needs to know the Lord? Go to prayer and ask God's divine favor. If you need God to move in your health or your finances or anything in your family, go to your secret place and pray. Come and go with us today as we continue to walk in the light of God's Word.
So I want to take some time to get us prepared for prayer. Moses, one of the greatest leaders of God's people, talked to God on a regular basis. If you read the books of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, you see that Moses had a continuous, it seems, conversation with God. Although he led perhaps millions of people, he said very little to them about praying or how to pray. Jesus, on the other hand, taught about prayer regularly, and he taught about prayer in great detail. Is there anybody here who would say, I could use some more instructions on prayer? None of us can fully comprehend exactly how prayer functions within the infinite mind and plan of God. How does it really work? In fact, on one hand, prayer seems simply as a way of lining up with God regarding what he has already determined to do. In other words, God already knows what's going to happen, how things are going to play out, and what he's going to do. So are we praying to ask him to do something different? Or are we praying to find out from him what he's going to do so we can agree with him? Or are we asking God to do what he otherwise would not do? There's a lot to learn about prayer. I asked somebody once, if it's God's will for something to happen for you, isn't that what you want? And they scratch their head and say, I don't know. Well, if that's what God wants for you, is that what you want? And sometimes the answer is no, I don't want that. I want what I want. And that's why you don't get what you want a lot of times in prayer. Jesus started off his first teaching in the book of Matthew about prayer. It says, Father, let your will be done. God wants us to pray. And the Bible is very clear about God's absolute sovereignty. He is God. He decides. He's in control. He doesn't have to take a vote to see which way things are going to go. He already knows, and he's the one who's absolutely in control. But it's equally clear that in declaring that within his sovereignty, God asks his people to call on his name in prayer. He says, yes, I'm sovereign, but ask me. Jesus' disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray. Let's look at some points he gave them and us about prayer in Matthew chapter 6. And this is not the model prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer. This was another commentary that Jesus made on prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. And he said this, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room. The King James, I believe, says in your secret closet. Close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. The first thing he tells us about prayer is how not to pray. Don't pray like this. He tells us, do not be like the hypocrites. What is a hypocrite? A hypocrite is one who portrays something that they are not. It comes from the old Greek arts where there would be those who would put on a mask and they would say that the mask represents who you are, and they knew that there was someone behind the mask, and they say that the mask then represents what is hypocritical. So he says, don't put on the mask and don't just pray so that you can represent something that you are not. He's talking to those who were Jews and who had a practice of praying, and he was really giving them instructions to correct some of the things that they were doing. Over the years, a number of faults had crept into the Jewish prayer life. For one thing, prayer had become ritualized. We're going to do it just like this all the time. You can say the Lord's Prayer and it can be ritualized. Okay, let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And you're just trying to hear them get through. You say it over and over, and now it becomes a ritual. The wording and forms of prayer were set. They were either read or repeated from memory. Those kinds of prayers could be spoken without any or almost no attention being paid to what was said. They were routine, they were semi-conscious, they were religious exercises. Jesus Christ said to them, do not be like the hypocrites. Another fault was being sure that they prayed a long prayer. They believed that the prayer's effectiveness and their sanctity were in proportion to their length. The longer I pray, the more effective my prayer is. Prayers were limited to the prescribed time and place, 3 times a day, with no relations to the situation or the need. It doesn't matter what's going on. It's time to pray. Let's go and do our thing and go into this prayer right now, 3 times a day. And now, since everybody is supposed to pray 3 times a day, I want to be sure you hear me do my 3 times. So I'm going to be sure it's prayer time, and I'm getting ready to pray, and I want you to be here to sure to hear me, and I'll check that off my list. The worst fault they had was that of wanting to be seen and heard by other people, especially their fellow Jews. I want you to hear that I'm praying. And that's why Jesus said, don't pray just to be seen or to be heard or to pray as the hypocrites do. Prayer that focuses on oneself only is hypocritical, because by definition, the focus of prayer should be on God. The focus of prayer is on God, not you. So if it's all about you, all about what you want, all about what you need, all about your issues, all about what you desire, all about all of that, then it's hypocritical, because you're not going to get from God what needs to be done. Instead of focusing on God, God, what it is you want, where do you want me to be, how do you want me to respond? The basic definition of prayer is communion with God. And if God is not involved in our prayers, then we're only pretending to pray, communing with God. Don't you know there are times you need to just literally see yourself coming before the presence of God, making your request? You want to say, I'm coming before the holy God to make my request. When you're praying, you're coming before a holy God to make your request and to visit and to talk and to spend some time. The whole layout of the tabernacle in the Old Testament was a picture of the way things are laid out in heaven. He said there was an outer court and an inner court. and a holy place, and the most holy place. And that most holy place was where the presence of the Lord was. And he said, you got to press your way through the outer court. You got to come into the inner court. And you got to get into the Holy of Holies if you're trying to get to that place where God is and where God can. So spiritually, we still have to press our way through in prayer, recognizing we're coming to God. Jesus tells us first how we are not to pray. Then he tells us in this passage how we are to pray. Now, notice he says this when he starts off. And when you pray, he didn't say, now, if you pray. So he surmises that you do pray. Since you pray, this is how you ought to pray. Go into your closet, your inner room, close the door, and pray. Jesus is not forbidding or condemning public prayer. His purpose here is to make a contrast between the practices of the scribes and Pharisees who were hypocritical in their prayer, and they were very public and they wanted to be public. And Jesus says, when you pray, go into your closet. The primary focus and the point here that Jesus makes does not have to do with the location of our prayer, but with the attitude of our prayer. I'm stealing away. We used to say steal away in the old Negro spiritual. Steal away and go and pray. Get into a place where you're not going to be disturbed so you can pray. If we're going to steal away today, we have to turn the phone off so you're not texting while you're praying. And you hear a text come in. You want to go see who it is right in the middle of the prayer. Somebody say, ouch. So you got to turn it off. You can be by yourself and still not be alone. These days, everybody is all riding with you in your personal device. They got it now where they'll talk back to you. You can ask it a question. They'll give you a whole lot of stuff. You know, Jasmine and I were looking at my phone. You know, he said, Dad, all you got to do is talk to it. They can ask it a question. I say, how many disciples did Jesus Christ have? The phone said, Jesus Christ had 12 disciples, and I'm going to name them for you. I'm ready to throw this thing away. You're not going to be by yourself. And so you have to say, how do I break away from whatever there is that it can interact with me and get some time in to pray? Now, listen, I know you can pray in your car on the way to work, but that's not getting alone with God. That's the time you need to watch and pray. Now, you can't go close your eyes and say, I'm going to get into the Holy of Holies while you're going down 59. You're going to be meeting the Lord sooner than you thought. You can't say, well, I pray on the way to work. I got 45 minutes and I just do my prayer. Well, that's good, but you need to get to where it's just you and him. If people sometimes happen to overhear your private prayer, it should not be by our intentions. Yeah, I'm going to pray in here at this job and everybody going to hear me. Everyone should regularly go to a place where they can separate themselves and get into the presence of the Lord. Here's what it's all about. Read about Jesus and his prayer life, and you'll find more than once and several times the Bible would say he would get up a great while before day and go to a solitary place and he would pray. His disciples are looking for him, but he snuck off to the side and went to a place where he could pray. It does not have to be the same place each time. The idea is to have time alone with God and shutting out the outside world and shutting down the world of our inner thoughts and the world of our inner minds, shutting those down so that we can now commune with God. We can hear from him as he hears from us. We want to get to the place where we can listen to what the Lord may want to share in us, a word of encouragement, a word of enlightenment, a word of support, word of direction, wisdom and knowledge and what have you. Going in the secrets place has the image of us going into the Holy of Holies, behind the veil, as it were, and coming into contact with God the Almighty, the invisible, the all-powerful God. He says, go into that secret place. Go into that secret closet. If you don't have a secret place, decide that you're going to go to a place where you can spend some time with God, where there's nobody but you and the Lord. You may have to get up before everybody get up in the house. Okay, you may have to get up before everything get moving. Don't wait until bedtime. and say, I'm going to pray before I go to bed. After everybody else done woe you out all day long, you've given everything and everybody else your attention, I know exactly what's going to happen when you get on your knees. You're going to be alone and God's going to be alone. So there's no exact prescribed way for us to pray, because prayer is just communion with God, talking with God. So nobody can pray better than anybody else if we can all get to God's attention and get his response. Jesus said this, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. He will reward you. The writer in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 5 says, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. King James says those who diligently seek him, he's going to reward you if you're seeking after him diligently and earnestly. Lord, I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to hear you. I want to spend time with you. I want to build my relationship with you in this act of prayer and communion with you. Prayer is not just going with your wish list to try to get God to fill it for you. Prayer is building a relationship so that you can indeed become a friend of God. Once you're a friend of God, one who's sticking closer than a brother, you don't have to ask for anything. A good friend will see you have a need and say, hey, let me help you out with that. But we don't know you too well. He want to wonder, what's your motive for coming in here? Now, what you here for today? I haven't seen you in 3 weeks. And the last time you came, you left so soon, I didn't have a chance to say nothing. So what do you want? And why do you want it? The scripture said you have not because you ask not. And some of you ask and you do not receive because of your motives. What do you think about somebody that every time you see them, they're asking you for something? And they say that they love you. And you're great and marvelous and mighty and wonderful. And I worship you, but they never say anything to you, but I want, can you do this for me? Can you do that for me? You know what I need? I need this. I need that. They never say, hello, how are you? And what have you been up to? And let's just talk. And that's the way it is when we come to prayer. We just ask and ask. And God says, you know, I know what you needed even before you came. So let's just talk. I know what you need. I'm God. I know what you need better than you know what you need. And I knew you were going to need it before you even knew you were going to need it. So why can't we just talk? I got the answer for all of your problems. I got the supply for all of your need. So why talk about that? That's what he says. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. At first glance, it might appear that we do not need to pray since God already knows what we need. But even though God knows what we need, he wants to hear us ask for it. When you're giving something away, you don't want somebody to come up there and just snatch it. Don't say nothing. They see you sitting there. You want them to at least say, well, thank you so much. You know, can I have some of this? Oh, yes, I'm giving it away. This teaches us that we do not need to pray with many words or urgency and volume, trying to compel an unwilling God to listen to us. Now, there are times when we need to travail in prayer, but the purpose of prayer is not to see how long we can talk to convince God to do what we think he needs to do. That's not the purpose of the long prayers. Long as I keep talking, you know, you're going to just keep crying and hollering until you get tired of it. And say, okay. Don't work like that. God's got plenty of time. You don't. Jesus is saying you don't have to try to compel an unwilling God to help. He's willing. He's God. We're his children. He promised in his word that he's going to help us. He's going to bless us. He's going to meet our every need. Paul said it this way, my God shall supply all of my need. And when we're led by the Spirit and are praying according to his word, we can come into his presence with confidence and understanding that God knows that we have need for the things that we are asking for. We need to just ask him, Lord, where do I need to stand? What's my position? A pastor called me today, and we had visited last week, and they were in the process of buying some property for their church, and he wanted some advice, and we shared and everything. And then he called today and said, Pastor, do you know this person? Maybe you can talk to them. we need $25,000 more. They say if we don't have it by then, they're going to sell it. They got somebody else waiting to buy the property and all of that. He was just getting out. I said, listen, let me just share something with you. If you're doing God's business and God is going to supply for you, you don't have to get anxious about what somebody else is doing. Take it from me. We went through this for years. And the property changed and all kind of things happened. But God is the provider and he works it. You the pastor, this could be a wonderful time for your church to learn how God provides. So relax. He said, thank you so, so much. I got it. When God's got it, they can't do nothing with it. If that's what God has for you, they can't do nothing with it. Don't worry about what they say. They don't mean nothing. Relax. In fact, this is not your work. It's God's work. He's got to work those issues. You don't have to work those issues. He know you didn't have enough money. So he either provided or he's going to show you something. So relax. Let's not be so preoccupied with our urgent petition and forget that the Father knows what we need. God knows what we need and knows how to get it to us. And when you can understand that, you can look like you're a great man and woman of faith. You will relax in the Lord. The Lord does the heavy lifting. If we could fix these things, they'd be fixed. If we could do it, it'd have been done. So since it's not done, we can't do it. So just relax. Give it up to God. Somebody says, I'm not going to pray and worry. If God is up all night, I ain't staying up all night. So let him stay up all night. He never sleeps or slumber. I might as well sleep. I like what Jesus did in the boat when the storm was rocking and he went took a nap. Because he already said, we're going to the other side. God's got us in the other side. The disciples were saying, Lord, you don't care whether we're going to perish. He said, who said you were going to perish? I said, we're going to the other side. No matter what it looks like. Here's what Jesus is telling us today. God does not have to be badgered or persuaded by the eloquent presentation of what we need. We don't have to just be more eloquent and then he will buy into it. Okay, no, that ain't good enough. I ain't like the way that sounds. Come on back again. Say, pull out everything you ever heard to try to get God's attention. You know, and one of the shortest prayers in the Bible was of Peter when he was sinking. He said, Lord, help, please help. Save me, Lord. Just a couple of words. God knows how to answer your prayer when you have need. He's not persuaded by your eloquent words. He's persuaded by your heart's desire and your sincerity and your faith and your trust in him. The purpose of prayer is not to inform or persuade God, but to come before him with sincerity, with purposefulness, consciously and devoted to him. We are your people who are called by your name, and we're going to humble ourselves. So God's looking for our heart, our attitude, our orientation towards him. He looks at what we need, and God can supply it. Prayer is sharing the needs, the burdens, the hunger of our hearts before our Heavenly Father.
This is Jerry G. Martin, and there are believers all over the world and all over the country that are taking time this month to pray. Many of you are in a season of fasting and prayer, and that is exactly what we need in our country today. This week is a monumental week as we are expecting the transition of our presidency, and with all of the turmoil that's been going on around the political activities, we need to come and stand in the gap for our nation. It was God who says, I was looking for a man who would stand in the gap so I would not have to destroy the nation. Would you be one of the people who are standing in the gap, one who will intercede on behalf of the nation and on behalf of the people? We need God's presence. We need God's power to do a miraculous thing to bring unity and to bring civility. I would like to give you an opportunity to come and be our guest at the Light of the World. We are still meeting in person every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We're in North Houston on Old Humble Road. We're near Highway 59 north of the Beltway. This is a place where you can believe, a place where you can belong. You may be listening to me and you are not connected to a church family. We welcome you to come and join with us. You may also join us online at lowcf.org. Again, Again, that's LOWCF.org. If you are in a place where you need prayer, call our prayer line number right now at 281-964-1393. That's 281-964-1393, and we will agree with you in prayer. For the Light of the World, this is Jerry G. Martin saying, may the Lord our God richly bless you, and we'll be with you again next time.